This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here once again with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky, who's recovering from a threat by our mayor to one of his colleagues.
Yes, sir. Trying to recover.
I hope we all recover from that. Today we're talking about your article titled, Who Wins in Daly's TIF Game, which appeared in the Reader on May 20th, 2010. Your article provides a deceptively simple breakdown of tax increment financing funding in the city's wards. You did a ward-by-ward comparison in an article you wrote with Mick Dumke. And I say deceptively simple because it, on the one hand, shows a very, I think, easy-to-understand allocation of dollars from tax increment financing by ward. But I'm guessing this was a tricky thing to put together. How long did it take you to do it?
Actually, thanks to Excel programming, the actual compilation did not take that long, and that's Mick Dumke's talent. He's very good at all that computer stuff that I'm not that good at. But the real struggle was getting the information. Let me back up a little bit. As we've talked about many, many times, the TIF is a secret tax that diverts property tax revenues up to $500 million a year, sometimes as high as $550, to slush funds controlled by the mayor. And there's no budget that's approved every year, and there's no debate over the overall program. And so it's very difficult to determine exactly how the money is proportioned. You have to go through every single TIF account and put it together. Mick and I have been hammering away at the city for the last, my gosh, I don't know, 6 months now, to provide us with computer-ready information that can be analyzed on a computer that shows how and where the money is being spent. The long and the short of it is that they finally provided us with that information. And now let me just back up by saying I know for a fact that the city has at its access a ward-by-ward breakdown of how TIF money is spent, but they did not share that with us. We specifically requested that information, but they were disingenuous in their response. They gave us something other than what we asked for, and we just made best with what they gave us.
Let me go back and ask you about the calculation that you had to do. Because the city gave you the allocation by TIF districts, mm-hmm. which cross ward boundaries
yes.
in some cases, when a TIF district did cross the ward boundary, you had to split that TIF district's money into the different wards. You said you used the city's formula. How did you calculate the percentage to put in one ward versus the other? Did you take a look at the number of streets that were in the ward? Is it geographically?
Yeah, we did it geographically. I mean, that's where the extra work came in. In many cases, it really is almost, it's completely insignificant. If you go to a poor ward, this is the whole irony. It's beyond irony anyway about this insane program we have. It's intended to eradicate blight in low-income communities. I cannot say that enough since that's its intention. And yet, by its very nature, it will serve the well-to-do wards the most. Just the way it's set up, there's a fundamental flaw in the program. So if you allow TIF districts to go into any area of the city, regardless of its wealth, then of course the wealthier communities will have more TIF money to spend. It's so obvious.
I want to come back to that fundamental flaw. I'm wondering if you have a take on how this could work. If poor communities can't generate the amount of incremental taxes that could then go into the fund and then be put back into the communities, then how could tax increment financing ever work?
The way it's intended, it's no longer created the way it's intended. If we go back to the original TIF model, it would work. Okay, if we go back to the original TIF model, there's a greater chance that it would work. So the original TIF model is you draw a very tightly arranged TIF district.
How big are we talking?
We're talking one project.
So it would encompass only like one development?
It would encompass only the development that is being developed.
Okay.
That's it. Nothing
so,
else.
So it might be a single building.
It could be a single building.
Got it.
It could be a block.
Okay.
It could be a stretch along a block. And then the whole point is you have a very specific project in mind and you have specified exactly how much money you need to develop that project. And you make a guarantee that once you've paid back the money you borrowed to develop that project with future tax revenues, you end the TIF.
So you would borrow the money, and then after the development is done, then the property values and therefore the taxes go up, and then you can get the money back.
That is how TIFs are supposed to work in the abstract.
It doesn't work that way at all
no,
in Chicago.
Of course not. It's a program designed to give Mayor Daly off-the-books slush money. It's been that way for 12 years. Why the city of Chicago looks the other way is the real more important issue, I think. the cluelessness and the ignorance of the Chicago populace, but that's a subject for another time. So speaking of this particular TIF program, if we go back to the original design, which is a way of funding one highly speculative development deal in a poor neighborhood that, but for that funding, would never get developed, then it could work, yes.
This sounds pretty straightforward to me, but I never hear this model promulgated, even in our conversation.
You probably never asked me about it this specifically, but...
Well, you didn't ask.
Yeah, you didn't ask. You ask, I'll tell. If you go back to the articles that I've written about the Central Loop and how it was created, I talk about this at great length, because the first TIF that I ever encountered was Harold Washington's proposal to redevelop Block 37, which is a huge debacle of economic development in the city of Chicago. And
you notice the glass on that is tinted green.
And the relevance of that
is symbolizing how much green went into it.
Sorry, as in money, not environmental soundness. Right. Anyway, so Harold Washington and his planners made a big issue about how they were borrowing money. That's it. They were going to borrow money. This was a temporary TIF district. And as soon as that money was paid back, as soon as those loans were paid back to develop this block, they were going to end the TIF so that all the extra tax dollars that it generated would go back to the schools and parks.
So that is in line with the sort of the methodology philosophy we were talking about.
That's the program. Essentially, a TIF is the city's way of going to its taxpayers and going to its school system and going to its park system and saying, we would like to borrow money from you and we promise to pay it back as just as soon as we complete the project for which we are borrowing it. That's how a TIF works when it's really working. And then the school board and the park district and the larger public are supposed to look at the specific program, determine whether it is doable, determine whether, if it is doable, it's in their best interests, and then finally determine whether there will be a return that will guarantee the bonds get repaid. If the answer is positive to all those questions, they give the city permission to create the TIF district. We don't have anything approximating that.
We don't have that scrutiny by the public.
Well, the Board of Education, which is in a state that is beyond delusion, the Board of Education's role in TIFs is absolutely disgraceful, and this goes back to Paul Vallis, Jerry Chico, Arne Duncan.
And you're saying that a lot of the tax money that's being taken from tax increment financing districts would otherwise be going to the schools.
Yes, or would not be taxed at all.
Right.
So they're stealing money from school children, using it for TIF projects, and then the schools, and here's the utter disgrace, all school officials from Arne Duncan to Paul Vallis to Ron Huberman say, thank you, Mr. Mayor, for this wonderful TIF program. What's that old saying? It takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes an entire city to have this scam, and so they're all players in it.
We'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to the rest of this story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for more interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.